our guest, in our special guest in the first hour, is a man that I have to admit I know most of my life, for good or for bad. I think for good, for a lot of it. And he's a man who has a career, you know, a lot of sports, played virtually every sport I can remember growing up, but will be predominantly remembered as an outstanding left full when it comes to soccer, a very good soccer player. Jimmy Nolan, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much, George. Glad to be here.
Jimmy Nolan was born in 1964 in Renmore. And how old were you, Jimmy, when the sporting bug came? Or was there always a sporting bug in the house?
I suppose the sporting bug in the house, the mother and father playing hurling and camogie and that kind of stuff. And
your dad was a native of
Kilkenny.
Yeah. Correct.
And he played hurling. The mother played camogie. She played with Galway's through the years. Okay. And I suppose from a young age, just running around kicking a football or whatever the case may be.
And your dad would have been a military man?
Yes, in the army, yeah.
So hence you lived a bit more?
Yep. So.
And where was the... Obviously, as you say, you're growing up, your household, there's a love of sport. And your first involvement then in team sports, would it have been with Renmore?
It was Renmore. And they were just, I think, starting up at the time, I suppose, whatever year they were founded at the time. 71, maybe? I could be wrong there, but Bernard Shapiro was the driving force there for the underage. I know the juniors started the year before and the underage started the year after. So I'd be 8 or 9.
But Bernard Shapiro was a man, he was one of those unsung heroes in clubs. There was a Bernard Shapiro virtually in every club. We think of Mike O'Connor in West United and his late brother Patsy. Joe O'Reilly in Hibernians. The late Jimmy Sullivan in Merview. You go to Boas, Mickey Killeen, Joe Keating, Saul Tail. You know, all those clubs had great people involved. But Bernard Shapiro was just one of those people that he wanted people to play. Ability didn't really matter to him. He was just getting teams on the field.
Bernard, from what was it, just wanted to get all the kids from Renmore in, get a team going, get it started, and then he just let you play. He'd be getting out on the line to us about this, that, and the other, but once we had 11 players, we were all buddies, we were all friends that time. You know, your parish, that's who you played for, and that was it. There was no crossing over that time, really. Yes, we all played Renmore, and that was it. I played Renmore till I was 18.
But also, at that age growing up, would you have played Gaelic football and hurling? Gaelic football.
As you said there yourself, and they played everything.
But in Renmore as well, if I remember correctly, there was huge street league involvement, was there? Or areas of
there
the
street
parish?
Leagues in the GA side of it, yes. Street leagues in that, yeah. Under 11. That's when it started, I think, at that time. So they said street leagues, but you were picked from everywhere. You just made 6 or 7 even teams and play them off during the summer.
But that was an ethos as well in Gaelic football that possibly, and I'm speaking here from a personal thing, is missing in sport nowadays, because it got everybody from the area involved. It wasn't an emphasis on winning, it was an emphasis on taking part.
True, but whatever it is in the person that serves up playing, they want to win.
Yeah,
I know it's not in everyone, but when you go to play, no matter what, they're always on about friendlies. You're going to play a friendly now, so don't worry about it. You know where, when you cross that white line, friendly is gone.
Jimmy, your dad comes from Kilkenny, your mum's from Galway, playing camogie. Could you have maybe even taken the step towards picking up the hurley, the come on, and playing the game, given the background?
No. I played it, but I was good, but I wasn't good enough to go that far, I'd say. I enjoyed it. A bit of physicality, you know yourself.
Yeah. Also, he was one of those people that if you played hurling, you see John in Monacisha, the games took place around 1 o'clock in the day, and you got time off, which was great.
That was everything.
Yeah, you know, it meant you missed out on homework as well. It was wonderful. But then, like, you would have loved the soccer, and your first involvement it would have been in under 11 leagues. That's where the team sport would come in.
Under 11, it was Bowes, Hibs, Carb Shamrocks, Sawtail, all them teams were there. West, they just go from West, for example, with Stephen Lally, Noel Myrna, just to name the two.
Guys you'd have played
and
eventually.
Brian McNamee, Maxie as well, the older brother. They were all there, like. I mean, there's some good. That was the Rovers team, as a matter of fact, as well. Maxi was with.
Yeah, there, Ricky Flaherty, all those guys, that area, who eventually, like yourself, went on to represent Galway United a bit later life. Yeah,
a good few of us went up at the one time. Stephen, Noel, I think Jimmy Laffey came after that as well. John Knock, the Fremra Moore as well. Mike O'Toole. I'm trying to think of what else. There's five or six of us went up at the one time.
It was huge, you know, local one. But then you went. Your national school obviously was in Rimmore as well.
No, St. Pat's.
St. Pat's?
Yeah. St. Pat's for more football and soccer or whatever in hurling. And as you say, Attenborough, an hour off.
And then you went to Monaghan.
Went to Monaghan then. That's where we crossed paths.
We did, yeah. And, but again, like you would have played in every sport, but growing up, you know, the guys you played with and the coach and the type, like, you think of that, we say it's 40, 45 years ago, but facilities like were nothing like what we have these days.
Well, if you remember West Park and the way it was with the big dip into the middle and tug out under the trees over there and a cold tap in the corner if you wanted to wash yourself, that was it.
But it's still,
there was no facilities to say. But
you come on at underage level, Dane, and you played with Renmore up until...
Minor. I played up to the 18s, under 18.
And you would have played with the likes of Noel Graney and Noel's crew, the Langans, Paul Langan, Martin Graney and goals. Like they were a seriously good, a very talented side.
There was. I think up 16, 17, 18 were very, very competitive, especially with all the teams around town, as some of the players I've mentioned.
Yeah.
And to win a league at that time, even, it was very, very hard. Carver Shamrocks were the team that you always wanted to knock off the perch because they were pulling from all over town, mainly Newcastle, but other players mostly town as well. Like, I mean, the likes of Jerry Mullen, Brian Long, players like that were with them at the time.
And for those who would not know who the Carver Shamrocks were, it was a man called Brother Justin. He was a teacher in St. Pat's, and guys that went on into the Bish, that was their club basically, Carver Shamrocks.
That's exactly how it was. And he was getting all the good players coming through the school, and you're coming play with me, you're coming play with me. So that's how we got them in. It met for a good league.
Then, as I say, you kept Renmore up to the 18, and to adult football, did you make a change?
I went across the road to Merview. Well, I went across the road because it was senior league. They were in the Connacht senior league
at
the time.
Again, Jimmy, would have been the infancy of the senior league about that time, would I be correct?
I'd say two or 3 years old that time. But I've been playing junior soccer with Renmore from 16.
Mm-hmm.
So I was well used to robust challenges and the loose elbows that might be going your way.
And was the reason you went to the senior league, was it a curiosity inside yourself? You wanted to test yourself to see, were you able to...
There was a curiosity because I had been training with Galway United at the time with John Herrick.
Oh, I see.
And I had been up there and... They were kind of asking would I go up, and I was holding back on myself. I said I'd rather go for a year with the Connacht Senior League to see how I fare, because the teams are in that time, the likes, as I said, Sligo Rovers, Ballina, Celtic, Castlebar. They were all top teams that were there, a good side, and I wanted to test myself there first before I took that step.
You said you were training with Galway United. How did that come about?
I was asked to go up. They asked, Jerry Mullen had been up there and Brian Long, they were both playing that time. They had gone in at 17 or something like that and they were playing. So I was a little bit smaller. Haven't got much bigger since, but... I had known John for a while and he asked me would I go up and I just been training first off and I just said no, I'd better take that year.
We've had people in the studio over a long number of years, and the last number of years that, like you, would have played, went on and played with Galway United. John Mannion is a man that comes to my mind automatically. And
sorry, I was told not to mention his name, okay? Jerry Daly told me that.
You mentioned two guys there, Jerry Daly and John Mannion, that the respect they had for John Herrick, because John Herrick gave everybody a chance, and like you, he went looking outside the pot to see could he bring in, and he had an eye for a bit of local talent and went looking for that talent.
Oh, he did, yeah. He was always at games, he's always looking at people. Even when I was training, he'd be chatting to me saying, this, you can do it. And he really did fill you with confidence, like, and you can do it. And I just, in the back of my mind, I just needed to make sure I was right, that I was right and I was good enough to go and make that step.
Was it a case that you were thinking you weren't just going to go for a season and, let's say, find out it's not for you? You thought maybe there was a small step that could be taken in between, obviously, to go to senior league.
Maybe I was a bit nervous in myself. I wasn't sure, but I found that with the Connacht senior league that time of the year, I did play at Merivale. I found it excellent. It really, really brought me on. It was such a big help.
How competitive was it? Because the senior league itself has kind of had good times and bad times.
At this time, it was very, very strong. We played Intermediate Cup against teams from Dublin and Cork and places like that, and we held our own. We beat a few of them. And the players as well, even in the senior league, a lot of them were ex-League of Ireland players that some had played with Galway United or Galway Rovers at the time.
Jerry Linsky's of this world, Tony Collins, Mike Long, the late Mike Long, Peter Long.
Yeah. And it was all that standard. They're all players that were able to, if they had to, they could have stepped up into League of Ireland.
They also were an excellent side that went to a later stage of an Intermediate Cup. We'll talk about that after this break.
Over the Line, in association with Supermax and the Plaza Group. Proudly fueling GAA supporters at the Galway Plaza, the N17 Plaza Tuam, Loughrea Service Station and the Kinnegad Plaza. The Plaza Group, the perfect pit stop on your journey. You're listening to Over the Line on Galway Bay FM, the sporting sound of Galway.
And you're very welcome back to part two and Over the Line's first hour this evening. Myself, George McDonough, and John Mulligan, and our special guest is Jimmy Nolan, one of the finest left backs, I suppose, this city has ever produced, one would think, and many would agree with that. Jimmy, you spoke about testing yourself in the senior league, and you went into a team and you spoke about the likes of Jerry Linsky and those that would have played League of Ireland as well. But that Merivale team was quite an exceptional team. Did it? You get to the latter, I know you got to the latter stage of at least one Intermediate Cup, and that allowed them to qualify then for the FAI Cup the following year.
I think you mentioned that there, but I think it was Longford you said they played. I wasn't involved that time. Yeah. I think I was back to Galway United again. I left for a year. I played that year in 82.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up then to Galway United 83, so it was 83 to about 86, 87.
Yeah.
And then I went back to Merivale for a year. And I can't remember the Longford game, if I did play
it. I remember Merivale actually beating, I'm not sure was it Michael McDonald that scored. It was the old Turriland. It was a Saturday afternoon. It was a huge shock at the time for a club, a non-league club, and especially from the west of Ireland. But as you rightly say, that senior league was a stepping stone for a lot of fellas into the, and was it a shock to you then, we'll say, to go to Galway United? Like, there was, you were nowhere near, with due respect, full-time professionals. You had a day job, and you had to train then in the evenings and the extra, and of course there was the time off for matches.
There was no full-timers at Galway at that time, and the first manager we had was Paddy Mulligan. Mm-hmm. So that was when I first met him. John had gone, so Paddy was over, and I found Paddy to be very, very good. As coaching wise, where he should be, what should be doing, and he taught me an awful lot in that pre-season. Mm-hmm. Tommy Ladd was there as well. He was the trainer.
Yeah.
Trainer. He ran forever.
You were fit.
Oh, we were fit. I think.
But he would have been the assistant manager, but basically he was there to get you fit as well.
But you know Tommy yourself.
Yes.
I think everyone does. He gets you fit.
Yeah.
He works you hard.
And that, like, did you find that you were, you say you had to step up from the local football to senior league, you test yourself, then to go from senior league to League of Ireland, how did you find the difference? I know you spoke about the training being hard and
the pace of the game. If your first touch is wrong, as a defender, if your first touch is wrong, you lose it, the ball's gone, it's back to net, or if you're in the wrong position, you make one mistake in the League of Ireland and it's either back of the net or is it a close shave.
And how long that's part of your career? How long more did you go on with Galway United? Because it was a time where there was success, yes, but it was always a case of survival at times also as well.
It was. It was up and down, really. Yeah. But we got... I was there till 86, 87, whatever the case may be, and we got to a cup final in 85.
Yes, that's so the famous Indian Rovers.
But that 83, 4 and 5, 6, them 4 years, they were very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
There was a great panel of players there. As you said, Jerry, Dennis Bonner, Brian Gardner, Kevin Cassidy, Paul Murphy, Martin McDonald from Sligo.
That's nice.
Mickey McLaughlin. I mean, some fabulous players in there. Probably leaving someone out, but...
Michael, Lord be good to
Mike,
him.
Well, Mike was...
He was a bit of a protector, Jimmy.
Well, Mike was only there for my first year.
Yeah.
That I think he stepped back after that.
Mm.
Mike was definitely killed the fish.
You know.
Great fun.
They would. But that's... I'm not saying you didn't take it serious, but there was a... People going to Galway United matches at the time in Galway, I mean, facilities were basic, to be fair. But there was a type of an attachment, I thought, between the Galway sporting public and that particular era of Galway United players. Maybe it was because so many guys were local or localish. Would that be right?
Yeah, I think because that whole squad all trained together. There's no one coming from anywhere else. We trained Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturday mornings, and everyone was there because they were all local players. Mm-hmm. I know Dennis Bonner was living in Loughrea, but that's only out the road for him. So he was working in Loughrea, he came in all training. Martin McDonald had come down from Sligo, living in Galway. So everyone was in Galway. And we all trained together and we worked hard.
I can remember that cup final quite clearly. Daly One Park, Noel Larkin, cheeky kind of a back flick.
What in the back flick, George? Oh. Put him in his butt.
It was a scramble.
Yeah.
But it was a game that you talked to a lot of the players that were involved in that squad. In later years, you find probably you looked back at it and you thought it was one that got away, most definitely.
Yes and no. We had our chance in the first half. Mm. I remember that clearly. But Rover at that time were the kingpins.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the players. The likes of Liam O'Brien. Jackie McDonough. And Keely, centre-half, sure. You couldn't go around him, he'd kill you.
Mm-hmm.
But they were the kingpins.
They were the barometer, really, of like what's probably happening in the current setup. But they were, at that time, that made... The 80s team were the barometer of what they were.
They were the team to beat. So we gave it a good go. We challenged them the whole year for the season. It was came down to the last few games of the season before they could take the championship, like, you know.
You then decided to go to Pastures New.
Sure. We had to do something new. It had to be different. So we decided, well, most of the lads have gone to Boston, so I said I'd go for a spin, see what happens.
And it was obviously work that brought you. Just at the time, people work was beginning to get quite scarce around the place.
Yeah, I was out of work at the time, and I just said I'd go, and I just see how it goes. We're kind of just going to go for the summer. And the day I did leave was the day Ireland played Germany, and Ireland played England in Stuttgart. Was the day I flew out.
Sunday, in June.
Yeah, so spent it. Came back then, and it was August.
How long did you spend in Boston?
About a year.
Just like go. It?
I did, yeah. Sure. Everyone knew everyone. It was like walking downtown.
And sport then out there, did it take a back seat or were you still involved?
Still involved. We were playing the Gaelic. With the Pierce, I think it was. And playing a bit of football with the sport at the Irish Village.
And that just lasted a year in Boston?
Just over a year, yeah. And we came back then. When I came back then in 89, Paul McGee was the manager.
Of Galway
United.
And did you go straight back in?
Straight back in, yeah. So
was that different than the previous involvement?
Not really, because it's still kind of, as you said, professional to a certain extent. You're in, you're been looked after, you get training, you do what you have to do your thing, you know. If you weren't training, you weren't up to scratch, you weren't getting on the pitch. So that was the difference.
And how long then did that last?
Up to 95. So it was I came back at the right time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, after Ski left, Joey Malone came in. And that's when Joey... Go on, George, you're going to ask
us. Did Joey, you know, did he bring something different that Paul hadn't, or had Paul done as much as he could with the team, let's say?
Paul had done a good bit with the team, but Joey had a different mentality in the way he wanted to coach. Everything was organised. Oh, no, that's not saying Ski wasn't organised on that. But it was more organised. He structured it, how he kind of wants to play, how he wants to bring you on. And just before I go any further, I just want to say, Joey's not well at the moment.
Yes.
He's in Beaumont, and I just want to wish him all the best, you know. Yeah, and hopefully gets over the line very quick.
Yes, most definitely.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Joey. There was a new generation of players that were coming in as well around that time. There were kind of new faces that were being brought into that or something, and kind of a younger generation of players. He seemed to widen the net out as regards players he wanted to fit into his own system.
Yes, and he brought in some of his old cronies, as we call them, John Cleary, Larry Wise,
yeah.
And he got in Paul Campbell on loan from Pats for that year. And then the rest was, John Marsbrook was there from the year before, I think. Mm-hmm. That was it, the Buxer, McIntyre, Johnny Glynn was up top, Tommy Kane was unbelievable that time.
That'd be good to him, yes.
Noel Myrna was there as well, so Peter Carpenter as well.
Eamon DC?
Eamon was kind of in and out that time.
Yeah. Stephen Lally was injured.
He's come back from injury, that kind of stuff as well, you know.
But if people will look back at that success, and we go on to the FAI Cup success, it was probably true to say that bringing in guys like Larry Wise, who had played like with the Dundalk and places, and John Cleary, who was with Shells and all that, they were coming from winning sides.
They were
and that little bit that they brought, probably, did it bring ye that extra few percent?
It did, because the likes of the two boys could explain it, they'd tell you, hold back, they'd tell you what to do, they'd talk you through a game. And especially as being a left back or a right back, a centre half telling you, don't do this and stay where you are and move on. It makes the game so much easier. And it's something that I find when I'm, say, coaching kids, that you have to talk to one another, like, help one another out. And it was a great... you learn all the time. And it was always learning something every day.
But that season and that cup run, it just kind of... It was, I won't say it was a roller coaster, but it was just a kind of a slow bit forming like a snowball running down a mountain or an avalanche, you know, just began to gather pace. And as every game was ticked off, you know, before you knew it, Galway United were in a cup final again, but this time again weren't expected to win. But
not that season, because we played Rovers twice that season and they gave us a hockey in both times. And I think the second time when we played them at home, it was about 3 or 4 weeks before the cup final, and they put out a second string in the season kind of a game, but they still beat us. So they thought they had it. They thought it was a matter of just turning up, and it did. And on the day, they did think it was just a matter of turning up. And I think that's what caught them in the end.
Yeah, but there was an remember that game, you know, the game, there was an intensity, there was a type of a drive from the squad.
There was,
I would think, and I don't know this not having spoken to the man ever, but Joey Malone, did he have some sort of a instinct put into you, we can take these and get inside them and we'll rattle them?
That was inside us all, to tell the truth, that we push ourselves. It's a one-off game. It's time now to step up and show people what we can do.
Was there any game in that cup run, I know we're talking about the final, but was there any game in that cup run that stood out that made you think in the back of your head, you know what, we could win this?
To me, I thought it was a game in Limerick when we played them in Rapan, the quarter-final game. I thought that was the game that we really stood up and showed them what we can go and do this. So we pushed each other every time we went training. We kept on to one another, we kept pushing.
But again, I go back, Jimmy, and I'll ask you, obviously, the belief, and again, we go back to the camaraderie. Yes, we had the lads that Joey brought in, but when one thinks back to the winning goal, nine times out of ten, a winger wouldn't have chased a last cause like what Tommy Cain did. He just knew he was going to get there. And, you know, did Johnny Glynn gamble? But, it, you know, we know what happened in the end, but it was just that sense. Again, it was this opportunity you got. I always found, even looking back in that game, we're getting one chance at this. We got to take it.
Well, going back on the game, we could pick on a few things that the referee missed out on, but you got to kind of put them aside and keep going. When Tommy Cain gets the ball, you don't know what's going to happen, because Tommy can just turn it on. And you never forget things like that. The first touch he took with his head, got it down, next ball, squared across the box, there was Johnny. Right place, right time.
Yes, I think the momentum that Johnny had got from coming from centre field carried him all the way to the terraces behind the goal.
He's lucky the fence is high enough, isn't he? He jumped the bigger fence.
But that, the elation of that, Jimmy, I remember that, and being at the game and people coming down on the train and the jubilation, and Salt Hill was alive, as it was generally every Sunday at that time. But, you know, the homecoming itself, to bring an FAI Cup back to Galway, it was great times for football, I thought, in the city.
It was. I mean, the homecoming was unbelievable. Like, we stopped, because of John Morrisburg, we stopped at Lone. There's more supporters there for us than most places. Yeah. Ballinasloe, we stopped. I thought we'd never get home. But we were all enjoying ourselves. It was just unbelievable. When we got to the square, the amount of people that was there was just mind-blowing. Really blew us away. Just, you know, when the Gaa hurling teams come back and you're there as a young fella looking up yourself and you're going, maybe, someday.
Had you any idea of the effect that you'd actually had on the kind of the football in public in Gaa? Because you were a team, as a 17-year-old, I remember, you know, people wouldn't talk about Gaa United. Then all of a sudden, that's all anybody was talking about, was this Gaa United team and the players they had and the run they were on and the fact they were given one in the eye of the Dublin teams. And there seemed to be some kind of underdog story that just followed you all the way through.
Well, I wouldn't say underdogs in every game, but we were massive underdogs in that final. But what you said there about the people talking was, we didn't take much notice of it, you know what I mean? We just kind of kept going. We tried to do the best we could. I suppose football in general gave it a big kick forward and helped out, got more people involved with Gaa United in.
I think so, but what struck, and it still strikes me, and I've seen something happen a couple of weeks ago as well in Turland, was with the return to the Premier League. The friendship, like, yes, there was three or four, as we call them, outsiders, but there seemed to be a great bond and still friendship. Like, you've had many a reunion. It's a great excuse, I know.
There's been a couple of great ones, all right.
But it's, you can have all the reunions you like. You'll get fellas that won't turn up. But there was some sort of a bond among that bunch of players, I would think, that has probably, made you lifelong friends, but there was just something else. And it obviously there was something there that just, more than just a winning a cup, it was something else outside of that, I think.
I agree with you 100%. We still are in touch with one another. We keep chatting. We meet up, as you say, every so often, whatever the case. If someone can't make it, they let you know straight away. You meet them all the time. And as I said about Joy, we keep in touch with him as well. Yeah. But John Cleary, he could drop you a line anytime. And we meet the boys around town. So Paul Campbell was in England. He came home for the reunion. And he came down with the Pats lads that were here just a few weeks ago. First game of the season.
Yes, that's...
There's 14 or 15 St. Pats players in the stand.
There was.
From that winning team where Cappy, Ricky, Johnny and Noel Murray played with.
Yeah, because I actually met them at the FAI Cup final this year. It was at the game between Boas and Pats. And it was a lovely touch that the Pats people had invited them lads up again to be part of their supporters group on the day.
Yeah, well, it seemed that group meet up regular enough. Maybe once a season, maybe twice a season. As we try to do it ourselves, and hopefully it's something we keep doing.
Yeah, it is something that's, you know, it's more than touching is the way, and you say with Joy, you know, we wish him well. But did you think at the time maybe even that squad, could they have achieved more, Jim?
We probably could have, but it's like everything else, politics in the background and whatever happened and disagreements between manager and stuff, and we lose players,
move on.
It's what happens.
Is there a hint of regret that he didn't? That it's, you're kind of, well, you'd always remember as a team that won the cup in 91 and rightly so, but is there maybe a hint of regret that you didn't have to?
I think so, yeah. There always will be a hint of regret to it, like, because we could have brought in one or two more players, as you would do every year, and maybe a couple of local young lads as well to come through. And you just make it stronger and stronger, but unfortunately, it took a turn for the worst.
Well, it's time for us to take a turn and take an ad break. Come back after these.
Over the Line, in association with Supermax, celebrating three decades of passion, dedication and unforgettable moments on and off the field. Supermax, proud sponsors of Galway GAA for over 30 years. You're listening to Over the Line on Galway Bay FM, the sporting sound of Galway.
And you're very welcome back to Over the Line with myself, George McDonough, and John Mulligan. And our special guest tonight is Jimmy Nolan, of many clubs, but primarily, no matter what club it was wearing the number 3 jersey left back. Jimmy, you finished up with Galway United then in the mid-90s, and did that coincide with a return to the United States?
Yeah, I went back to Chicago in 95. I had applied for a green card, and myself and the wife and our youngest daughter got them. So we said we, and at the time my sister was there living in Chicago, so we went over there and we were there for about 16 to 18 months.
The sport over there now?
Yes, sport over there too, Gaelic football and the soccer.
For 18 months, and then was it that home was calling again, is it?
Home was calling, but not on a good thing, but we had to come back, and we decided we'd stay at home.
You stayed at home, and your daughter still lives in...
No, I have a daughter in Chicago.
Still lives in Chicago, yeah.
But she's the second girl. The eldest girl was with us at the time, so...
I see. And you come back here to Galway, and then did you go to Salt Hill?
I went back up to Galway United that time for the pre-season, but just didn't work out. Tommy Lally was with Salt Hill at the time, Senior League, and he asked me would I go down, and I said I would. Himself and Joe Riley were there, as a matter of fact.
So that was another formidable partnership. You were more running.
Right partnership. No, they took it easy on me.
Age. But did they? Like, you're looking at then, we're looking at, Jimmy, approximately a 10-year gap between your stints in the Senior League. Did you find a difference, for the better or for the worse, or because it's a topic that many football people make out as something that's maybe missing in football in the West of Ireland, the Connacht Senior League?
I think when I went back with Tommy that time, I found it wasn't as strong as it used to be. Mm-hmm. It was still a good standard, but from when I first played in it with Merview, the standard was much, much higher.
And was that the senior, coming kind of towards the end of the Senior League at that stage?
It was, yeah. It was coming towards the end of it, yeah. I think it was Belnad pulled out that time.
There was two or three teams, I think, pulled out in the space of a few weeks, if memory serves me right. And it kind of was the death knell of the competition after that, which was a shame.
Belnad was the first team, I think. I'm not sure if it was Tuam that went as well. I could be wrong on that one, but... Mm-hmm. It kind of fell apart near the end, all right.
Not drifting away, Jimmy, but we're going to move to your later career and the Croatia career, but it's a point that's been made here by football people. Do you think that this, if the Connacht Senior League would be certainly a help to the Galway Uniteds of this world and the Sligo Rovers, and let's say to Athlone as well, probably geographically?
It would. It would be a help. I think it's a step up. Everyone wants to get higher, and anyone has any aspirations of what they want to do, they want to play at the highest league they can.
There's a lot of people have talked like this. Galway United could be looking at the local players. Yes, we have the academy situation with Galway United, but there's still guys that don't go through that and are very good, we call them junior players around the place. Do you think a senior league would be an ideal stepping stone, obviously, for them to go up and try it if it was available?
It would be a good stepping stone, because it'll bring the club up higher too, like, and keep, as you know, when under 18 finishes in a club. Now, they've started a 21 league, which is a good thing. It keeps them players involved with the club they're in. Where before, at 18, you've lost an awful lot of players. So now they're keeping the players. So from 21, can you get senior league on that?
Yeah.
And I know the junior players, probably junior clubs wouldn't like that either, but I think it should. I think it should. Something like that should be in place.
To allow the local,
local
league Barnet team
to
grow into that, into that system. Back to Saltill then. How long did that last with Tommy
just
and Joe?
Just the one season.
They ran enough out of you, did they?
They did. They ran me all right. Ran me out.
And what happened? Did you go back to the junior football then?
I went back to junior football. I was doing my coaching at the time, starting to get the badges and stuff.
I'm delighted you mentioned that, but was that always something that Jimmy Nolan had in his head for a while, that he'd like to go at the coaching? Or did it just come because you're coming to the end of your career, maybe?
I had never I had never thought about it until at the end of that season with Saltill. And I said, someone said, you do your badges and whatever. I said, sure, why not? I went off and I started. So after Saltill, I ended up out in Kiltulla, with Kiltulla Pioneers, coaching.
Player coach, wasn't it?
Player coach, yeah.
Yeah. How did you find that?
Enjoyed every bit of it. It was brilliant. Some excellent players out there. The and Coonies again, and the Murphys.
They were a club that's done a lot of work on the grassroots.
Oh yeah.
In their area.
They're all local lads as well. One or two in from Loughrea maybe, or surrounding areas, Athenry even. But great club. Very friendly. Jack Wersky put a lot of work in there. And a few more alongside him.
And after the Kiltulla Pioneers, then what was next?
Renmore.
Back to where you started.
Back to where I started, yeah. That's about 2-3 seasons there. And as you said, the Greenies are still there and the Langans and all that, they were still all around.
So in a way, you had kind of went full circle. Well, if they had stayed, you had went off, found your feet in national level, at League of Ireland level, senior league, both to and from, doing a bit of travelling. And I think that's lovely, so in a way, and it's a tribute to the Renmore Club, but that you arrived back 12, 14 years later, and the fellas you left behind to go and see are still there.
Still there, yeah.
Which, to me, just shows loyalty, what loyalty to a club is.
Well, it's your local, it's your local club. As you say, a lot of the lads that are with Hibs, you know, your area, like.
Yes.
And they're still there, and still involved in the club. And it's great to see it.
And then, was it then there was a move to West United after Renmore?
Well, that wasn't on the coaching. That was just to go play in reserve football.
But you were still you had been coaching at Renmore?
Yeah. I finished up there. I kind of finished up Renmore. About 2 or 3 seasons at Renmore, I stopped then. We left them. And then just went playing at West. Just went playing reserve football. That was it. I think I turned out for 1 or 2 league games for them, and they were stuck.
Well, a man has told me that you were summoned on a couple of occasions when there might have been relegation. And this is with due respect.
That's the truth.
Yes, I know. I was told that quite by a man that Jimmy was a man that was needed and done what was needed.
As 2 games, and one of them was against Athenry, and one of them was against Sawtip. And I played in goals for one of them.
Oh, my God. Any cards?
George, I never got a card.
But you said you went back there to play reserve football.
Mm.
And as a man who has loved football all his life, do you think that there's not enough of social football, maybe, that fellas should play a bit longer, or is it getting harder to get fellas to, are guys packing up a bit too young, do you think?
Well, the modern day. Have an over 35 league now, an over 42 league. Might get over 50, yeah. We might keep going then, Josh.
Yeah. When you went back there, there was a certain group of characters that you would have played. I know West, like, got over 35s, and had a bit of a legendary team, and a few fellas involved, Tony Craw and company.
Oh, yes, Tony.
You know, Sean O'Dowd, and we'll today, but a few. But that is. Do you think that's love of the game, or just the playing for fun, is gone, or do you think it should be something that should be fostered to get better?
The overage leagues are for a bit of fun, and I know some people are serious enough when they're playing, but it's still to get out on the pitch and to play a bit of football, and not, we just said 35 to 40 year olds not running after 21 year olds trying to catch them when something then, I'll trip them. Someone might get hurt. So it's good. The 35 days keeping it on the same level.
And was it West United then were the last club that you actually actively played for?
Yes. That was it. As I stopped that, then I did a bit of refereeing.
Why the refereeing? Was it just something back, or were you approached?
I was approached. I was asked. Mm-hmm. And asked would I do it. And I said I would. And I wasn't the referee's best friend when I was playing.
Never, Jimmy.
It was something that opened my eyes.
In what way?
I really, really enjoyed it so much. Seeing these young lads coming onto a pitch and the way they played the game. And you know, that's only an under-12 game. It'd be handy. Mm. Then they could move the ball fairly quick and they were good and competitive, but not overzealous and trying to keep the ball for themselves, pass, move, like you'd coach anyone. Pass and move. Where should you go next? What should you do next?
And how long did the referees last?
3 years about.
The knees. The knees gave away. Old age.
That, exactly.
And then, which brings you back to more coaching.
Yes. Back to Knockmacara, where I am at the moment. So. That's junior football.
Yes.
But it's enjoyable. There's a good bunch of lads there. You know, they're a good core. They're all buddies. And I kind of did it last year because my own lad was playing.
Yeah.
So I'm one of these people that I won't coach underage if my son was playing. I wouldn't go near that team.
Respect.
You don't want you're playing him because of favouritism or whatever. Mm. So I came back last year and he was playing and just a bunch of lads that win, lose or draw, let's go, have a few pints and we'll go home. They enjoyed it.
Has the style of coaching changed or have you had to change over the years?
Oh yes, coaching is changing. Well, the basics never change. That's pass, move. How you receive a ball, how you pass the ball. Where should you be next if you pass the ball to A or B or whatever. That's really never changed. It's after that then it's all trying to teach the kids how you play in different zones, different areas of the pitch.
There's a lot of debate, Jimmy, if we can ask you from your experience and you're still coaching. There's a lot of debate you hear this moment among football people and this various hierarchy people saying they should move to summer soccer. Do you have a view on that?
Well, the weather we're getting these days, George, I think we should.
But the argument I would put up is, and this is just as an observer, a lover of sport, and looking at the way the Galway District League has grown, would it alienate a lot of rural clubs who have players playing other sports?
Well, the way it's going now, George, the hurling and the Gaelic, they're going nearly all year round now. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
no matter what you do now, whether you play during the summer or keep going as you are, you're going to lose players either way. So the players, the young lads, whatever, they've got to make their mind up now. Do I want to play the soccer or do I want to play the Gaelic or the hurling, whichever. That way, every club, I know for a fact, every club has footballers in their squad. And coming this time of the year, they just leave and they go back. We're not playing now, lads. The Gaelic is starting, we're gone. Mm-hmm. So now you've lost 4 or 5 players and you're struggling then for the last 5-6 games of the season where you might need them to get out of trouble or push on or whatever to get some.
It's just a point.
Would I go for summer soccer? I don't see why you shouldn't try it for maybe 2 years,
mm-hmm.
3 years, and see.
As you say, the most important thing is pitches, because we hear, and I hear it myself from people I know involved, that the council may have closed the pitches for safety reasons and because 2 matches on them at the weekend could destroy them for 4 weeks. We have to think of that as well, and that would be a point really as well, pitches wise, why it would be, you could see the advantages.
Oh, it is, of course, yeah. It is, and at present moment, where the weather is, the pitches are closed more times than not the last couple of weeks. And even not even allowed to train on them. So, Jordan, I think it should be tried to see will the summer soccer work. Mm-hmm. And if you don't try it, you'll never find out.
Do you think underage football and football in general in Galway and its surroundings is in a good place?
I think it is. I mean, look at the likes now of Ordon Moor, the amount of kids they have out there, not in the Cara. It's go down there in the Saturday morning, you see the amount of kids that's running around there. It's really, really has picked up so much. Every club now has two or three teams underage, all the way up. And the ladies' football, it's absolutely massive.
And one of the great things I think about ladies' football and ladies' soccer in a way, and I think it's helping to grow the game, I'd like you to know that the fact that it's underage, Jimmy, they allow the girls to play a year up to, I think it's 12 or 13. I personally think that's a fantastic idea because it keeps them involved. And they may not have enough of that club to play, but at least it keeps the girls involved and they can move to a club maybe that will have a ladies' team and enough to play.
I mean, the ladies' football, I watched a good few games lately and some of them are very, very good. Some games are excellent. So, I say onwards and upwards.
You look back, you know, since retiring, let's say, at Jimmy, but who... You've had over 50 years involvement in predominantly soccer, Jimmy. Who would you have put down, we'll say, as the biggest influence you had through that time? Apart from yourself. And I mean that in a nice way.
One of the biggest influences, and you mentioned him earlier on, biggest influence I had was Joe Keaton. When I was with Ramore, Joe came in early on to give Werner and Coley Smith, senior from Merview. Yeah. And they were there when I started off, and they were... Joe was a big influence, big influence.
A wonderful man, and Joe Keating, a wonderful man to speak about football, but also when we can remember from growing up, he was always a wonderful man to be involved with a team because his just attention to detail is superb.
Oh yeah, he'd tell you exactly where you're going wrong and this is what you do to get it right. But he was a constant with me from, I'd say, 12 to 16. So I had a good run with Joe on the sidelines. So it taught me a lot of stuff, you know.
You've enjoyed the life in football?
Of course I have. It's great.
I wouldn't
be here otherwise.
How many more years, Jimmy, is in you? You've got to keep the coaching down and it's something you'd like to keep involved with?
Yeah, I've always enjoyed the coaching anyway, so we'll see where it goes from there.
Jimmy, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. It's lovely to have you in the studio.
Over the line in association with Supermax, home of the fresh 100% Irish chicken breast sandwich. Always fresh, never frozen. Visit supermax.ie.